Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com and the conclusion of our study of Psalm 10, verses 1 through 6. This is part 2 of 3.
Where he was, over the years, he's become more and more conservative and sick of this socialistic welfare state and the globalist trade treaties, sending our jobs overseas and all that. And he starts coming out with it, openly saying things. And you know what they got to do? They're going to do the same thing to you. They have to lie about you. So they have to say, well, Trump hates Muslims. And listen, I don't care if it's on Channel 4, 6, 10 here locally or on ABC, NBC, CBS, or CNN. When they say that, you're looking at a bold-faced liar. He said he wants to block Muslims coming to this country who hate us. Not all Muslims. And Muslims who come from countries who are hostile to this nation. You know what you call that?
Smart.
He hates Mexicans and he says all Mexicans are rapists and murderers. The lady on CNN said it. Listen, they're a bunch of liars. What did he say? He said that there are rapists and murderers coming over the border from Mexico. That's a statement of fact. And he didn't say all Mexicans. And what I'm saying is that that's their attitude. They hate him now because he will not go out and say, I believe in a woman's right to choose, and I'm going to put a Supreme Court justice on the court to replace Scalia that will support murdering unborn children. And I believe that we ought to, promote globalism. And I think that we should have free trade, which is another word for godless globalism. Instead, he says he wants fair trade. And on we go. And so what do they have to do? They hate him, so they have to lie about it. That's just a big screen of what's coming in your life. If you will stand up for the Lord, you'll stand up for what's right, the wicked hate you. And they'll lie about you. They'll cut you down. And try to talk to them about the truth, and they don't care. Why? Because the only reason we care is because we got the Spirit of God in us. It's not in your nature to be honest and to care about these things. But you have the Spirit of God in you, so you like the truth. Amen? Before you've been saved, the truth's kind of, we can take it or leave it. That's why most of the non-Christians you know, most of the friends you have who are non-Christians, they'll say, well, truth is relative. To me, what I think it means, I think, when this is, and that's how they talk, because it's not about truth, it's about me. Yeah. Amen. They will not seek after God. God is not in all His thoughts. Listen, I remember what it's like to be unsaved. And go, I remember, I just can recall my life back then. I'd go all day long without God in my thoughts. All day long. And even now as a Christian, you have to actually set your mind to think on the things of God. Purpose that you're going to listen to things like music or read books and conversation. Set yourself and set a goal and set parameters so that you can do that all day long. You have to. It's something you have to do, at least for a while. You make it your lifestyle. You know, because all the homos, they love to brag about their lifestyle. Let's brag about our lifestyle. What's my lifestyle? Oh, I try not to listen to anything that's ungodly. So I try not to watch things, read things, talk about things that would not please God. Hollywood would go broke if Christians would all do that. Christians spend billions of dollars every year on crap and want to get mad at the church for just taking up an offering. And so they use the charismatic crooks as their excuse for not giving to the Lord's work. Well, these preachers are all about money. No, we're not all about money. We forgot to take up the offering. Can someone grab the plate? I had somebody one time, They said, you know, the strange thing about your church is you don't take up an offering. Why? How do you pay the bills? They'd been coming for several weeks. And I said, oh, well, we got a box back there, and if the Lord leads you to give, you give. Amen?
Amen.
That's good. It was good that he was asking. It was good that he cared. But then that same person ended up leaving to go to a church that was all about money. I don't get it. And I'm not going to judge him and say, well, he's not saved. But he's acting like the unsaved. Because he went to a place where he could get bells and whistles, even though they're constantly harping about money, 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 rather than a place that he said he'd never heard the word preached like that before. He was learning like he'd never learned before. And where'd he go? And so many times that's what Christians do, acting like the wicked. God is not in their thoughts. I'm talking about professing Christians. God is not in their thoughts. If God were in their thoughts, they would think of the people going to these churches that even if they have a Bible, it's a perverted Bible. They don't teach the Bible, and they sing garbage. Their fellowship is fake and forced and limited. They're there about 5 minutes and gone. Amen. The only reason for Christians to act like they do these days by the mass majority is that God is not in their thoughts. I just say this, I submit to you today that if God is in your thoughts, the NIV would make you puke. If God is in your thoughts and you read the English Standard Vatican Bible, you would want to burn it. But there's a reason why those Bibles are the best sellers. The King James is still being distributed more than any other, but it's not a bestseller because local churches are doing it. Local church Bible publishers, for one, but a lot of local churches are just printing Bibles. Ain't that something? No copyright. Go get your NIV, ESV, you got a copyright, and if you use too much of it, you can be sued unless you get permission. Not from God. From the publisher. Why? Because it's not God's. It's not His book. If you have to get permission to quote a book, it's not God's book. Amen.
Amen.
Why do Christians fall for that? Because God's not in all their thoughts. They're not concerned about what God thinks about this whole new version scam. They're not concerned about what God thinks about the Christian contemporary music industry, as they call it. They're not concerned. God's not in their thoughts. Christians acting like practical atheists. And look what it says in verse 5. Read that. His ways are always grievous. Thy judgments are far above out of His sight. As for all His enemies, He puffeth at them. So it's like a parenthetic statement there in verse 5. Thy judgments are far above out of His sight. That's about God. But He says, His ways, talking about the wicked, are always grievous. And it ends by saying, as for all His enemies, He puffeth at them. His ways are always grievous. You know, I know that. I've attended their funerals. They don't die happy. And the people that go to their funerals don't have any peace or joy as we can have. If Jenny were to die, or if I were to die, we would go to one or the other's funeral and be very sad that we're now going to be living without the other. But we would have a joy and a peace in that, that the world can't know. But you go to a funeral of an unsaved person, especially the unsaved people who are there, you go up to the Christians who are there, and it's sad because they know where this person probably is. And then you go to the unsaved, and there's just a total cluelessness. They have no idea. And so they make stuff up. He's an angel now. God got lonely, so He had to kill him. How many of you heard that stuff at funerals? Yes. Every day on social media, you'll see that stuff posted.
Every time a bell rings, an angel gets his wings.
That's what the godless have to do, is make stuff up. Why? Because his ways are grievous. They have no hope. They have no joy. They have no peace. It's all a facade. It's all fake. On the other hand, thy judgments, talking about God, are far above out of His sight. Meaning, they can't understand it. You and I talk Bible truth. We really get down to the truth with people, and they just look at you like, yeah, he's crazy. Yeah. Go to a funeral of a saved man with unsaved people there. They'll still say some of the dumbest things. And when you turn around and say, you know, we believe the Bible. And the Bible says, and you know, like E.F. Hutton, remember those old commercials where everybody goes, when you say that at a funeral of a saved person to the unsaved, you say, when the Bible says, they go. Excuse me, I would rather believe that he's now turned into a beautiful butterfly. He's been reincarnated. And that's the stuff they believe. But I love how this thing ends at the last phrase there. It says, as for all his enemies, he puffeth at them. You know what that means? He's full of hot air. Yeah. Puffeth. It just, how many of you think of the pufferfish when I said that? What can the pufferfish do to harm you? Nothing. He just bloats. You're not going to get me down in one bite. You know? That's his big defense mechanism. Well, that's how all these hot air people are, the wicked, who blow hot air at you because you want to stand for what's right. You say, well, you know, they can be... Yeah, I'll kill you. Well, listen, you may think I'm being a little arrogant or cocky. I hope not, because I'm just telling you the truth. Don't threaten me with heaven. I'll kill you. Just make it painless. That's the only request I have. I mean, you want to shoot me? Make it a clean shot. Here, I'll even put an X on there for you. Hit it. The only reason I would not want to leave this life is, you know, because of a few people that I love and don't want to leave behind. There's one. She showed you a video of one earlier. And that baby's mother, you know, and other people, you know, I don't want to leave behind. But let me tell you something. Over here's a couple more. I said other people and all of you. Got hot water, man. I can feel it. I love you, all of you. But honestly, how many of you have given that much thought? I mean, you know, back in 1999, I think it was, in Columbine, a guy walked up to the girl, put a gun to her head and said, will you deny Jesus Christ? And she wouldn't, and he blew her head off. All she had to do is say, yes, I deny him. Allah Akbar. And he would have walked away, even though he wasn't a Muslim. But he wasn't after Muslims, he's after Christians. And she said, I won't deny it. Boom. And I've thought about that. What would you do? And listen, if we're serving the Lord, God is in our thoughts, we really love Him, they're puffing at you. They can't do anything to you. You kill this shell, where do we go? Immediately. In the presence of the Lord. Yes. There's coming a payday. There's coming a judgment day. Everything's going to be balanced out. Yeah, Johnny?
You're just mentioning, you know, talking about, you know, they can't harm you really, but even, you know, shooting at you, and it's sometimes it's so heartless that probably even have his angels put a finger into that arrow.
Yeah.
You remember stories like that?
There's times where, yeah. It's like, you know, the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Remember what they said? Our Lord can deliver us, but if He doesn't, we still won't bow. They had the right perspective. They had God in their thoughts. And that really is all comes down to is having God in your thoughts, having His Word. And I'm preaching to myself as much as to any of you, because I've never actually had a gun to my head. But I've been in some dangerous situations where at that time, it's a strange thing, but how many of you have experienced something where you suddenly have a boldness that you didn't know you had in you? I think that's what God gave that girl I was talking about at Columbine. I think He'll do that for you. when that time comes, if you have Him in your thoughts, if you have, at the time you're living for Him, serving Him. Matthew 15 said in verse 12, "Then came His disciples and said unto Him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying?" In verse 13, "But He answered and said, Every plant which My heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch." And what I'm saying is that the world has an idea about what is strength and what is power and what is right. And they're leading people into the ditch. This includes preachers who will not stand up and preach the truth. They're leading people into the ditch. And so what you have to do is have God in your thoughts. Have the Word of God planted in your heart that you might not sin against Him. And not follow. I don't care who it is. Once you see they're going on the wrong road, don't follow them. Too many people do exactly that. They're puffing at you. Full of hot air. Read verse 6 and we'll close. "He hath said in his heart, I shall not be moved, for I shall never be in adversity." And that's exactly the attitude I see in so much of these guys. And they just like, they think they're going to go on forever in the condition and standing they are at this moment right now. This moment they are healthy. This moment they've got a bank account that's fine. This moment they've got a job and a home and all these things that are fine. And they just, they're deluded into thinking that's the way it's going to be. It's just going to stay like this. And it's not. Oh man, I was thinking of him, Charlie, yesterday when I was looking over some of these scriptures. Yesterday, Steve Jobs. And you think about how he looked right before he died. He was so emaciated and skinny and they had to walk him around. And yet he persisted in his unbelief, which was positive. He persisted in his positive thinking that it's going to get better. It's going to get better. I'm not going to die. This isn't happening. Instead of trusting God, and too many Christians again, too many Christians today, instead of trusting God, trust in their positiveness, their faith. How many, I get so tired of hearing people say, "What got you through that?" My faith. No! God got you through. You had faith in God, and God got you through. It wasn't your faith. It's almost like you've turned faith into an idol. Why? Because they define faith as positive thinking. And that's the new God, positive thinking. As long as you're positive. You can get through anything. Come on, just think positive. Oh, and people, you know, if you just start to face life and say, "You know, I need to do something about this." Oh, don't be positive. I'm not being positive. I'm being real and I'm going to do something about it. Oh, don't do that. You just think positive. Just confess what you believe it and then God will make it happen. And they die just like everybody else. And as it says, "He hath said in his heart, I will not be moved, for I shall never be in adversity." And that's where they end. They end in the adversity. And that's only the beginning of the adversity. The wicked ends in adversity. And he wakes up like the rich man. He woke up in hell, lifted up his eyes. And the adversity has just begun. To go through life and just thinking, if you can just think positive and you can create your own reality. It's a big thing in sports today. These guys work in football. They work. They start, they don't even take a break anymore. They go all year round, work, working out, getting stronger, faster, and learning their plays and practicing plays over and over to execute. Got to pull, got to block, got to do this, got to do that. Everything's execute. And then when they win, how did you win? We just believed in each other. And the coaches, they'll say the same nonsense. Clemson, who I was very glad won the championship this year. I was glad to see him win. Coach seems like a nice guy. And then they interview him, and he goes out and he says, "It's all about love." I told the fellas, this is our theme all year long. It's been my theme. Love. Love each other and we'll win. I'm here to tell you that Clemson did not win because of love. Clemson hit harder. Clemson played better. Clemson, here's write this down, write this down. Clemson scored more points. I'd love to be the winning coach one day just so they can interview me. How did you do it, coach? We scored more. No, it was all about love. If we just believe in one another. You're telling me that how many college teams? There's 100 and some college teams, I think. And they didn't believe in each other. And they didn't love each other. If they had, they had won that trophy. It's just ridiculous. And I'm not saying that coach is godless or anything like that, but because we're not talking about Michigan. But that idea that you just have that positiveness and believe and we'll get, that's not of God. That's not biblical. We read Sunday, who's supposed to eat? Those that work. But I love you. And I believe. So feed me. You see what I'm saying? It's just not, it's not a biblical thing at all. Obamaphone. Listen, we have more people out of the workplace right now as a country than I believe since like the Great Depression. And that lying, filthy, good-for-nothing Barack Obama stood up there last night and boasted about having the lowest unemployment rate. It's because people gave up and stopped filing for unemployment. After you've been unemployed for 6 months, you stop filing. You're not going to get anything except for them to try to force you into training. And so people give up. And they go on welfare or become drug addicts and go on SSD or whatever, any way to get the money. It's all lies. And it's all built on lies. And that's what I'm getting at in this text. The wicked live a lie. And too many Christians have gotten sucked into this thing and they live a lie. And it's not all about what you have in this world. The greatest preachers aren't the ones, and I know some people say, well, obviously you'd say that, you pastor a little church, but it's a fact. The greatest preachers aren't the ones with the biggest crowds. The greatest churches aren't the ones with the biggest number and the biggest band and the Jumbotron TVs. And that's how people in this fleshly, wicked world we live in right now, that's how people judge things. And just making it personal for us, don't do it. Don't judge things like that. Don't look around you and judge people by what you see on the outside. Do not judge according to appearance. And learn to live with God's thoughts as your thoughts. Don't say in your heart anything unless it's in agreement with God. You should ask yourself every time someone asks you a question and you start to give an answer, the first thing you think is, what do I think? The first thing is, does God say anything about that? And then what's great is when people say, would you stop quoting the Bible and tell me what you think? I'll say, no. If you don't want the Bible quoted, don't ask me a question. Because if it's in the Bible and I'm able to recall it or look it up on my phone, and I don't have an Obama phone, I'm going to look that thing up and I'm going to say, here's what God's Word says. Because you don't need Greg Miller's opinion. And that's you, to live your life, don't need your opinion. You need God. You need His Word. And don't live like practical atheists. Don't live like practical atheists who go throughout your day just all about what you think or what some godless person said on TV or one of these talk shows or whatever. And ask yourself, what does God say? What's God's Word on this? And that is why we are who we are and why we're here today, folks. We believe what the Bible says, that we cannot be saved by our good works. That's why we're here today. If you didn't believe that, you wouldn't be here. if you didn't believe that salvation is because of what Jesus did, He paid the full price for sin. The wicked say, me. The wicked will tell you, I'm going to stand before God and I've been a good guy and He's going to let me in. That's what they'll say. The Bible says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. There is none good, no, not one. There's none righteous. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You're here today because you believe that Jesus saved you and you couldn't save yourself. And you want to be a part of a group that believes the Word of God over the Word of men, and that you want to get that message out to the lost of how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Because if you're not here for that reason, you're here for the wrong reason. Amen. That's why you should be here. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this time in Your Word. And we thank You for the Psalms. And just so encouraging. And we see how David encouraged himself in the Lord. And then we can encourage ourselves in the Lord by reading and believing the Psalms. And the entire Word of God. Lord, I really believe that even though we're seeing a little bit of breath of fresh air politically in this country, and I do pray that that continues. But even with that, I just can't help but see America continue to fall. Spiritually, this country is on the wrong track. Even among professing Christians, they just embrace error, embrace perverted Bibles, embrace false gospels, embrace the opinions of men over the Word of God. And so, Lord, I pray that our little church family, that we can't save the world, we can't force anyone else to follow Your Word, but I pray that our little church family will be committed to being the kind of Christian that we ought to be, the kind of Christian that throughout the centuries has served You, loving their lives, not even unto the death, not loving self, not being full of opinion, an attitude that is not biblical, but surrendering all these things and allowing You to give us the attitude that we should have, helping us to live the way we ought to live, and that we speak Your Word. And when we face the devil, like Jesus did in Matthew 4, we respond with, "It is written, thus saith the Lord," and that we live it, and that we preach the gospel, and we may not see a lot of people saved, but we will please You by doing what we do. And that's why we should do it. That's why we should do it. Give us that heart, Lord. Give us that attitude that Jesus would be glorified. That's our purpose and our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.
For solid King James Bible preaching and teaching, along with the encouragement of the Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, tune in to our internet radio station available every day, 24 hours a day, at bbfohioradio.com. Join listeners from over 150 nations, all 50 U.S. states, and other U.S. territories who are tuning in and receiving free Bible teaching at bbfohioradio.com.